Even before the earthquake, China was very much in the headlines this week. President Obama met with China's President Hu Jintao. Mr. Obama tried to enlist his support for sanctions against Iran and for lifting China's tight controls on its currency. To get some insight into Chinese thinking here, Renee Montaigne invited history professor Jeffrey Wasserstrom back to our studios. His latest book is China in the 21st Century, What Everyone Needs to Know.
Let's begin with President Hu. What does everyone need to know most about him?
Well, I think there are a few things. We need to know of him continuing in a line of Communist Party leaders in which some of the things that he's doing fit very much into tradition. There are certain slogans and catchphrases associated with him, just as there have been with previous ones. In his case, the pursuit of a harmonious society is one of the catchphrases. But at the same time, we need to think of him as departing from previous Communist Party leaders in certain ways. And that catchphrase provides an entree to that. Harmonious society is a nod back to Confucian values and plays on the idea of valuing a society that is harmonious, where different social groups get along with one another. And that's a radical break from Mao's slogans, which tended to focus on class conflict and class struggle as the way forward.
Of your very short list on what one should know, what else is there?
There are also things, I think, that would just help us think more clearly about China if we realized that China and the U.S. are not diametric opposites on all things. For example, we sometimes forget that even though Chinese leaders do not have to stand for election, they do have to play to popular opinion, and they're affected by interest group lobbyings of different sorts. So that when there's a discussion about the valuing of the UN, Hu Jintao isn't simply a free agent completely doing what he wants. He has to think about how what he does will play with leaders within his own party, as American leaders do. And he has to think about how it'll play to an audience in China, to popular opinion. One thing we often think of is nationalism in China as something that is manipulated from above, and sometimes it is. The party sometimes uses it. But nationalism can also constrain what Chinese leaders can do. So, for example, Hu has to make sure he's not seen as being too weak in the face of the United States. And another thing is we can think usefully about China right now being in some ways in a very similar position to the United States about 100 years ago when we were dramatically rising in the global economic and political hierarchy. And this was causing a great deal of concern among the established powers at that point, the Western European ones, who thought of us in many ways much as we now think of China as a rising power. The U.S. in the late 19th century was viewed as a place that made shoddy goods, for example. Dickens came here and complained about the fact that unauthorized pirated versions of his books were being sold everywhere, and he wasn't seeing any of the money from it. We can think of a lot of things in which there are resonances from that earlier time in our past.
Well, looking to the future, we hear a lot about China overtaking the U.S. and certainly the equal now of the U.S. as a world power. From your view, is that even a correct way to be looking at China?
Well, I mean, I think it's very important to realize that the world going forward will be one in which China has regained a place as a very important world power. But I think we should also appreciate the fact that China continues to have enormous internal problems that it will have to deal with. And so that at the same time that we're thinking about how will the world adjust to this newly strong China, and China is getting much stronger, we also have to appreciate that there are still vulnerabilities within China right now. And China's gotten more confident in the last year or so since she wrote the book. But I really like a line that Susan Shirk has in her book, China, Fragile Superpower. When she told Americans that she was writing a book, Fragile Superpower, about China, the Americans would say, fragile, with a question mark, and her Chinese friends would say, superpower. There was still doubt within China about just how far China would be able to rise.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
Jeffrey Wasserstrom is a professor of history at UC Irvine, and his latest book is China in the 21st Century, What Everyone Needs to Know.